Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back. 10 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5. John Granato along with Wendell Champion. This is such an historic day, and this has been such a historic time here in the city of Houston and around the world. Now, even around the world, this has become global. George Floyd being buried today here in the city of Houston. Wendell Champion is running for Congress, District 18, against Sheila Jackson Lee. I imagine there are easier things in the world to do than beat Sheila Jackson Lee. Because nobody can do it. So,
that's absolutely right. There are much easier things to do, and I'm gonna push back on you a little bit and say no one can do it. No one's done it to this day.
Yeah.
No one's done it.
Right, right. But no, I didn't say no one can do it. I meant to say no one's done it so far. So,
right.
Well, best of luck to you.
I appreciate it.
In your race against her. But this is such an emotional time, and you have so many interesting connections and different backgrounds. So, West Point grad.
That's correct.
And then you went on to get your law degree here.
South Texas College of Law, right downtown.
Right downtown, South Texas College of Law. And you work with the Sheriff's Department.
Correct.
Right now, the military, right?
And the military. I was a captain in the Army. I got out of the Army, and I did some reserve time here in Houston and became a captain. I work now as a military liaison for Harris County Sheriff's Office, where I support those individuals who are employees who've served our country. And they continually go out. We have young men and women who still go out in the battlefield and serve our country valiantly, and I support them.
So that's really interesting, especially at this time with all of the uprising and all of the unrest in the country. And you are associated with the Sheriff's Department and the military specifically. And now you're running for Congress as well. Do you have any specifics that we can help fix this unrest in this country?
Yes. I mean, one of the things that we have to do is find a way, as we look at police, law enforcement relationships with the community, we have to really build up on this idea that we need to have community policing. And that's not a foreign concept. But what it does mean is that we need to start developing our agencies to be more peace officers, which is a license that we get, peace officers. And then when necessary, we become law enforcement. And I just had a very long conversation with one of the chiefs here in town. And we're going to be working on putting together town hall meetings so that we can discuss exactly how the community feels and then pair that up with the law enforcement agencies and begin to build programming that build the trust that's needed within the community.
But don't we already have internal affairs? And internal affairs is not just not working.
Well, that we see that, right? In most recent cases, we see where there's been delays in the judicial system, where there have been protections, if you will, within those internal affairs as they protect agencies. And I'm not saying that internal affairs doesn't work. But what we do know is that we have to have external output. But what we're seeing right now is that you can't just throw the baby out with the bath, right? You got folks talking about defunding police agencies. You can't do that. But we have to do something different. And some of that pressure has to come from the outside.
Okay. So is there any – okay, there's no deterrent, though, right now, since zero cops have been done any jail time for any of the killings of African-Americans here. And yet, if they do, and I have a feeling Chauvin is going to.
Yes.
He's going to be
yes.
found guilty, and he's going to do jail time. How will this in any way, shape, or form the cops' ability to work to be able to maintain their law enforcement duties?
It's a good question, because what you're suggesting is, one, if we start to punish the police officers with hardcore sentences for going outside the lines and having excessive force, then does that now make officers more reluctant to engage? You know, I've been trained as a peace officer. In fact, I'm waiting right now to be commissioned as a deputy. So I've gone through the police academy. I've worked inside the jail. I've dealt with inmates inside the jail. I understand there are levels of force. And when we get to a place where we have to de-escalate, we're supposed to de-escalate. Probably one of the things we need to start looking at, and I was at an event yesterday where the young man says, should the police be punished? And the idea is, yes, we're talking about human beings. So if we have an individual like we have in this case, where Chauvin's done some things that are just horrendous, horrific, then we have to have in place laws that deal with the police officers and not protect them to the degree that they're being protected from internal systems.
Should this have been avoided if Chauvin had been, if he had been fired for his, so if I've got, there seems to be a tendency there.
That's right.
And if I'm starting to build up a tendency, listen, at what point can we say you can't be a cop anymore?
That's right. And that's what we have to do.
Before something like this happens.
Oh, absolutely. And so what we probably need to do is look at possibly even having repercussions for those folks in leadership within those agencies that allow these individuals to stay around. I mean, if you have a guy that has been around for 19 years and has 18 offenses against the public and we're supposed to protect and serve, he's absolutely not fit to fight. He's absolutely not fit to be an officer. And so within that organization, there has to be accountability as well. So it's not just one cop. We need to hold the leadership of those agencies accountable as well. And that can be done without defunding, if you will, agencies. It's going to take some retraining, but we can get it done.
Buffalo, the 75-year-old being, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, and some of it was tongue-in-cheek. But listen, what happened from it is 57 emergency response officers all quit because those two officers were suspended. Are we going to be seeing, first of all, are we going to be seeing that I don't want to be a cop anymore? I'm disrespected. This is an horrific job now in 2020, and I don't want to do that anymore. And if Chauvin is found guilty, are we going to see Minnesota, all those cops say, I ain't doing this anymore?
Yes. Maybe not all of them, but you are going to see a purging of the ranks. A purging of the ranks where folks are going to say, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it because they're going to feel, and I know this firsthand. I've talked to officers. I work at the sheriff's office. I've talked to folks that say, wait a minute, I'm not sure if I should stay around. I've got enough points to retire. This is getting too dangerous. Too dangerous, not respected, all these types of things that are going back against the police, and now you're starting to have a movement within the organizations themselves to not protect the blue. We've got a problem. However, we also can't sit back and allow the blue not to protect the people.
Right.
So it goes hand in hand. What we cannot do is allow this thing to just run its course and not get the leadership around it to say to the officers and to the emergency responders, listen, hold on. Let's not overreact here. We need you. Not only the agency needs you, but the people need you. And that's what we have to do.
Well, I don't, if I'm a cop right now, I'm finding that hard to believe because I'm being attacked. There's all of the cops that have been killed, the cops that were attacked in Philadelphia. There's a story in Louisville about, it was a great story. A cop is by himself and five guys protected him from the crowd.
Right.
But when you're a cop and you feel like my life is in danger just walking down the street, putting on my uniform. Why would I want to be a cop anymore?
You're right. And what we have to do is to find ways, again, to start to re-educate the agencies and the community. And we have to find a way to get people to believe once again that the officers are their friends, friendly peace officers, but carrying a stick, and when needed, then we're going to be law enforcement. That's a different message. You know, I was talking to someone just yesterday, and we're saying, well, what happened when folks came from Vietnam, for example, and came back from the war? And initially, everyone, they would change out of their uniform before they go out in the street because no one respected them.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, what happens, we come up to today. We wear our uniforms with pride. I remember when I was a young cadet, I went into West Point, and Jimmy Carter was president. We were having some challenges. Ronald Reagan came in afterwards, and during that time, we went from not wanting to wear our uniform in the airport to wearing it with pride, people high-fiving us as we got on the plane, and we have to restore some of that. But that's going to require from the police agencies themselves to be very proactive in putting out a positive image in the community.
Yeah. You're an African-American.
Yes.
Personally, did you – I mean, because you say, well, we got to believe and we got to train and the people have to believe that they're our friends. But if I'm a young African-American in America today, I can't believe that with what I see. As an African-American, how can you believe – have you ever experienced it yourself?
No, I haven't been beaten down by the police. Have I been treated unjustly and I thought maybe it was racially motivated? Yes, I have.
How can you trust?
You trust. Well, first of all, I got to say this: what we're called to do as good people, if you will, and those who are Christian folks, then you've got to say we have to find ways to forgive folks no matter what happens, and that's a hard message. But even if you're not, what we have to do is to look for reasons to trust. What we know is not all police officers are bad. And so you cannot take one or two actions or three actions and say that that defines everybody. It goes both ways. And the police officers cannot say that every time I see a young black male walking down the street, and because he might have his belt off of his waist and his pants might sag a little bit, that he's a criminal. We can't do that either. And so there's an education that has to go on both sides. So how can we trust? We trust by finding ways to actually have engagement that's true inside of a community. And then over time, we'll find and we'll build trust. Trust isn't something that's just going to happen overnight, especially when we have these optics. I mean, listen, I'm not disillusioned. What I've experienced, you said, have I experienced it myself? I've seen the optics. I mean, when you go back to Rodney King, I remember Rodney King getting beaten down in the street. And so what? He was up on so many drugs and everything else. I couldn't go to work that day. Why? Because I saw Wendell Champion on that ground. How could I not? I'm a black man in America, right? We fast forward and we see these incidences, the kid out in Jasper. Ugh. I mean, this is horrendous. How could someone drag a man behind a truck until his head comes off almost? We didn't see that. Could you imagine?
If there was video.
Could you imagine if we had seen video of that?
Oh my gosh.
We would have been in so much pain, we still would be trying to heal. And then you fast forward and you get another incident. You get a guy up in New York City. Only thing he's doing is selling Lucy's on the street, $5, cigarettes. He's crying out saying, I can't breathe, and we don't do anything. We let him die out there. And then you get another kid. He's walking around the neighborhood. He's going around the neighborhood, and someone says, oh, I thought he was robbing the place, and I went around and I shot him. I stood my ground.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward again, and it happens again.
And again, yeah.
You know, you got a young man running around the street, and he can't jog.
So the mistrust is real, and it's
absolutely real.
That's right. So how do you specifically change that?
You specifically, again, you have to bring the people together, law enforcement, with the right messengers, right? Well, law enforcement, along with community leaders, community organizers who are willing to sit at the table and not just have incendiary words that throw gasoline on the fire, but looking for a resolution. Now, if we're willing to come to the table and we're really looking for resolution, then it can be done. Through conflict comes resolution, right? Through conflict comes revolution. So we have to be able to do that. But we got to be brave. We got to be courageous. We got to be willing to have a mindset that's going to allow people to actually come together. We all want that. We all want to come together. That's true.
Right. So Wendell Champion is with us here on ESPN 97.5, running for Congress, District 18. You could have found a different district, couldn't you? I mean, Harris County, historically, Republicans aren't going to do very well, okay?
That's right. So I could have found a different district. I'll tell you what was said to me early on in this campaign. Some of the folks within the party were saying, well, Champion, he's over there. He's a West Point graduate. He's a military officer, a lawyer, a businessman. He's been in ministry. He's worked in the community. He has all these different things. Why doesn't he just move, get him an apartment somewhere else where he could really have a greater opportunity to win? And the response from one of the guys in the meeting was, he's running not just to get a seat in Congress, but he's running on an idea. He's running for real leadership. That takes more courage than just going somewhere, looking at the numbers, and finding some place that I could win because people are going to resonate with my background. What I see here right now is what's needed is that the individuals that are being shared messages from, we talk about left and right and all that stuff. I'm going to push that aside for a second. The bottom line is our young men and women are being told things in America right now that is just not good for them. It's not just good for their families, and it's not good for America. And so we have to have individuals that are willing to go into these areas, courageous enough to fight the fight. And that's where I am. Now, the other reason is because I grew up, I raised my children in this district. I've lived in this district almost 25 years. My kids went to school in the district. My wife worked in the district. I've worked in the district. We played in the district. We've done all these things in the district. So why would I go somewhere else when I see the issues that are happening right now and they need a leader? I've got children in this district right now, and we can talk about this, children in this district right now who are not getting educated in America. Who's going to be on their side? You know, I've got old folks, seniors, who live 5 miles away from the largest, best-known medical center in the world and do not have access to quality health care. People say, well, yes, they do. Oh, no, they don't. Right? I have young mothers who we continue to tell them that it's okay when they have their children that the government's going to take care of them. And the government just gives them just enough to survive. Not enough to get ahead, not enough to push their family forward, not enough to give their children real opportunity in this country, just enough.
That doesn't sound very Republican, though.
Oh, it's very Republican when you talk about, when you really break it down. Because at the core of that is, I'm not talking about creating systems in place and more welfare to help to give people an opportunity. No, you don't give anybody anything except an opportunity. You create a platform that allows them to get to a place where they're not dependent on government, that they can depend on their God, and they can depend on their own hard work, and they can be prosperous based on the sweat of their brow. That is what people want. It's a conservative message, but we use this word conservative, and then we say liberal. No, liberal, conservative, that's what people want. They want to be able to do best that they can in America. Yep. This is the greatest country in the world, and that's what they want. So that is Republican, if you will, but it's also Democrat. The Democrats have just got off on the wrong path now, and they know that.
How was our coronavirus response?
Overall, I have to say, initially, we have to believe that the elected officials responded with the best information that they had. I'm not going to beat up on the folks and say they should not have told us to go in quarantine. Well, that's easy to say if we don't have right information. It's possible that based on the information that they had, they did the right thing. Now, we're getting to the point 90 days later, and we know that people are suffering because they need to go back to work. And so in this regard, I think at this point, we should be pushing folks to go back to work. Our response and giving, and this is a different subject matter, but tangent on it, if our response to giving people so much money now that they don't want to go back to work, that's damaging.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. That's very dangerous because what that has done and what it's doing is taking those individuals who were hardworking American citizens wanting to do what they can do best for their families to get to the next level. And now they're being sucked into a mentality that goes, wait a minute, the government will take care of me.
It's not for long. And I know a lot of restaurants that can't get anybody to come back to work.
And it's a false narrative, right?
Yep.
We know doggone well that the government cannot, over a long period of time, give people enough money to stay home. I mean, there's a bill being introduced right now that one family can get up to $10,000 per month as long as we have an epidemic. $2,000 per person, husband, wife, and up to three children. $10,000 a month to sit home? Are you kidding me? Who's going to go to work for that?
Nobody.
Who's going to go to work? Nobody.
Nobody.
And this is what's being pushed from the Socialist Party.
Can you introduce a bill that says that the Astros are great people and that, that everybody has to stop giving them the business?
The Astros?
The Astros, yeah.
I can try.
You can try?
I can try.
I'm sick of. Aren't you sick of Astro hate around here?
I really am. Listen, I got to tell you what. We know that there are some things that went on,
couple
right?
Things.
Let's look. But couple hey, things. That's some things went on, but we also know that that's part of the game. I mean, people go, "Oh no, they were cheating." Well, listen, there's folks have been taking signs and doing signs. It's just happened. We just used technology this time. Yep. But you still got to be able to perform. Whether you got a sign or not got a sign, you still have to be able to hit that 103-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, yeah. And now 100-mile-an-hour curveball. They got curveballs going 95 miles an hour. My goodness.
What sports did you play?
I ran track in high school and college. I played a little bit of football.
For Army?
No, I was a track captain at Army.
Oh, you were?
In fact, I had had some records that stayed on the books for a couple of decades before they got
What about sports going forward here with all this stuff?
I think we need to go ahead and get it open. You know, we really do. Listen, if we can have a funeral that has thousands of people sitting right next to each other, and God bless the family, but we can have some sports in this country.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is people need a release. We need to get back to our normal way of living. The disease, the pandemic, all of that, you know, we're starting to hear conflicting messages coming from the CDC and who?
WHO. WHO.
Conflicting.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing is that people are going back to their normal life.
Yep.
So we need to do it with common sense. But if we need to have people sit every other seat for a minute or two, then do that. But let folks go back and play sports. Let them go back and watch it. Listen, I got to tell you this. At West Point, General MacArthur gave a message to cadets on athletics. And the message was, upon the fields of friendly strife are sown the seeds that upon other fields on other days will bear the fruits of victory. Okay? Upon the fields of friendly strife are sown the seeds that on other days on other fields will bear the fruits of victory. Mm-hmm. And so from that, we know that from athletics, there's so much that comes from that. We can't truly define it, but the impact that it has, not just on the players and the teams, but the folks that are rooting for them, we need that.
Oh, it builds character. Oh, it builds teamwork. It brings camaraderie. All of that.
And it builds it gives us a playing field to watch how people from different places and different races, different socioeconomics, mm-hmm. different religions, different social, sexual agendas, sexual orientations, all that. We see all these different people coming together for one common cause. And that's why we have to have sports in this country so that folks that are watching it can feel that. And go back home and not feel so divided. See, we miss that. I mean, and not to get so esoterical and so philosophical, but the fact of the matter is, when we have folks watching those games and competing for their team and cheering them on, they're actually cheering on systems that allow people to show their unity. And that's what we need in this country right now. We need unity.
Wendell Champion, District 18, Republican. And we appreciate great perspective on a very difficult day in all over the world today.
Yes.
We really appreciate you coming in and hanging out with us and giving us your perspective, a great perspective, sheriff, military, West Point, all of those things, and now maybe congressman here in the city of Houston, in District 18. So thanks so much for coming here. We appreciate it.
Well, John, I appreciate you having me, and I just want to say to all those folks that are listening, please check out our website at champion2020.com. That's champion2020.com. And what you'll find is a candidate who has a heart for the people. I care about the people. This is more than just Republican versus Democrat. This is more than just unseating the Congresswoman. We have at a time right now where we need true leadership. We need another form of leadership. And the time today requires someone who can do it differently. Wendell Champion, check me out. Together we win. champion2020.com. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you, Wendell. We appreciate it.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
I did not ask one of Art's questions.
Yeah, you didn't ask where he got his haircut?
No. There were other ones.
Art was pissed
that I didn't ask any of them.
Well, the man contributed to the show and you ignored him.
Ask him what makes a vet a good candidate to represent us. That's an actual question. Is a vet a better option? He had the other ones. Does this guy have a brother named Sam? Legalized weed?
That's not a question. Legalized
weed. Ask him to name his favorite Dr. Dre song. Ask this guy which is better, Ether or Hit 'Em Up. I don't know what those are.
Those are songs.
Oh.
Those are diss tracks.
But, oh. Not, he doesn't care about Ether
you
or
don't,
Fidamo.
Oh, you don't know that. How do you know?
I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that he doesn't.
What? Why?
Maybe not. I mean, he works with kids every day.
But those songs are older songs. That would be in his wheelhouse.
That's right, in his wheelhouse?
These aren't... Those are songs, I'm trying to think, but probably 10-plus years ago. And more, actually, for both. One's a Tupac song.
Oh, well, Wendell's in his 40s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know how old Tupac was?
Listen, I don't know those songs, okay?
Well, you're not in your... Well,
I almost am.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Tupac... Well, Tupac was born in... let's just say Wendell in his 40s doesn't preclude him from listening to Tupac.
No, it doesn't, I guess. All the Texans today at the funeral, right? Or whoever wanted to go, right?
Yeah, it was...
Bill O'Brien gave him the day off.
No work being done today for the Texans.
So John McClain is tweeting that players continue to work out in groups. Among others, Watson has been throwing to wide receivers Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Kiki QT, and Kahale Warren.
Weren't you worried about him not working with teammates? And clearly he is.
Of course he's working with teammates.
But you were like, you better be working.
No, I didn't. No, I'm the one that said, of course he is.
Deshaun works, okay?
No, Deshaun, I got no problem with Deshaun working. No problem whatsoever with Deshaun working. Would you have put him forth on your list of players that you would have drafted overall if you just threw every player in the NFL in the hopper?
Considering how many teams would take quarterbacks.
Well, you got to take. Wouldn't you start a team with a quarterback?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
How silly is it Ronnie Stanley went sixth?
That was someone's pick. Considering how many quarterbacks would be taken before I got a chance to take another one, I would take them, yeah, at four.
Well,
if I'm at four.
There are. You're fourth, and Deshaun is on the board.
Yeah, because if I don't take a quarterback, by the way, if you missed it, it was for the next 5 years, not for the next upcoming year.
No.
How you want to build your team for the future in the next 5 years. If I don't take Deshaun, and let's just say I take an older quarterback like a Drew Brees. I got Drew Brees for 2 years, and all of a sudden I'm looking for another quarterback. So, and then if I take a position player who's got more time on his tires in terms of being able to play, say I take Ronnie Stanley or whoever's available. I got to wait till how many more picks before I get a shot at the quarterback?
Yeah,
taking the quarterback.
Well, I saw some. Like Kirk Cousins went in the second round.
I'm not taking.
That's fine. Jameis Winston went in the first round, 30th.
For who?
I don't know. Some dummy picked Jameis Winston.
Some dummy.
Ahead of Kirk Cousins or whomever.
No. Deshaun has all the ability and capabilities of being an elite player. And if I got a chance of him at four and the next time I'm going to pick is at 36, I'm taking him.
Yeah, I just think that. And you know what? And rightfully so. And if you want to know the truth, I wouldn't have an issue if you took Deshaun ahead of Lamar.
If you're questioning whether what Lamar does, and for even if you remove the whole, he can't do that for like the next 5 years, being that type of quarterback, maybe you just don't think Lamar will develop into a guy where his legs will be a secondary aspect to him. I could see that. If you don't think Lamar is going to develop into the passer he's going to need to be down the line when he's 27, 28, I can see why you would take Deshaun first,
mm-hmm.
or at least ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a list, Dell. General managers ranked 1 to 32.
And you have a number for Bill O'Brien, I'm assuming?
What number do you think Bill O'Brien finished?
Now, this is excluding what he does on the field as a coach. Simply as a general manager.
Just as a general manager.
Now, we normally have the Texans in the middle. That's normally where they land with all these things. But I feel like this is the outlier. I'm going to go with 31.
Nope.
He's the dead last?
32.
I was trying to give him credit.
Yeah, what do you give him credit for?
Maybe someone would think, I don't know, something.
I know. It is. He's one of the worst general managers in NFL history, let alone right now. Dave Caldwell from the Jags is 31. Mike Brown from the Bengals, which is so dumb. What do you do? Why is Mike Brown? Because he doesn't want to pay a general manager. Dave Gettleman, Andrew Berry, 28th. Let's see. Who do you think is the best?
Well, for a long time, it would have been Ozzie Newsome, but he's been retired for a little bit now.
Well, he's not officially their GM. Belichick is number one.
Why? He's not great.
He's not great.
He's
at
not great with personnel.
He's really not.
So that's a that list is dumb. If you're giving Bill Belichick credit for what he does as a football coach, he doesn't always have the greatest personnel. That wide receiver core has been trash for long time. Didn't replace the tight end. He's not that great.
He said, well, he did sign Stephon Gilmore. Traded Jimmy Garoppolo. That wasn't a good trade.
He didn't get great value for Jimmy Garoppolo.
He got terrible value. He got him in the second round, and he got a second rounder for him. For a starter.
That's
a Super Bowl starter.
Yeah. Even Matt Schaub got 2 seconds, and he...
Yeah. And he didn't even get on the field.
Well, he did, I think, maybe a game or two. I don't know. I don't remember how that came about.
The only reason Belichick has won is because of 12.
Yeah, and the only reason he's won because of his... only reason he's won on this list because what he's done as a coach. Not as what he's done as personnel-wise, because if you actually analyze that separately, that Patriots actually are a middling-type draft team, and maybe a little bit below. Who are all the long... I mean, you have... Who are the long-term Patriots now? Patrick Chung, but I think even he left and came back. You got Dante Hightower. One of the McCourties wasn't an initial draft pick they brought in. But the McCourties, they're not great. They can't draft receivers. Not that great at running back.
Hightower.
Yeah. I mean, they like, for whatever reason, they're a team that's great at with retreads and bringing back their own guys after they leave. But he's a middling drafter.
He's got Brett Veach second. He didn't even draft Pat Mahomes.
Didn't draft Tyreek Hill?
No.
Didn't draft Travis Kelce?
No. The whole foundation of that team.
Dorsey.
That was John Dorsey. He's got Mickey Loomis third, Kevin Colbert from the Steelers fourth, Howie Roseman, John Lynch. I think John Lynch is the best.
For the 49ers. He built that team from
the
ground up.
He built that team.
Yeah. Made a trade.
They were bad.
Awful. After the Harbaugh thing.
Yeah.
Well, even at the last year Harbaugh, they were bad. But the Harbaugh thing, over. He built that team from the ground up.
I'm going Lynch first, John Schneider from the Seahawks second.
Yeah, another guy. He rebuilt that team and has kept them
at it. Wait a minute. It's just stayed good.
Even with paying the quarterback a lot of money, they found a way. Now you have an elite quarterback, certainly helps. But they haven't taken this drop-off in talent just because they're paying Russell Wilson a lot of money. Yeah, I think the two NFC West GMs may be your best.
Yeah, and then DaCosta, Eric DaCosta from the Ravens.
I feel like that's an Ozzie Newsome. That team is built off the back of what Ozzie Newsome did.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but if DaCosta learned, I don't know if he came from the outside or if he learned from Newsome, he may just be just as good. Who made the Lamar Jackson pick? Was it DaCosta or Newsome?
It's his second year.
And Lamar is...
second, 2 years.
Yeah, so if he made the Lamar pick, that would certainly help his cause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm this list. Now,
best. So that means Bill O'Brien shouldn't be 32 then?
No, Bill O'Brien should be 32.
Okay, it's the one thing they got right.
Right. They got something right. All right, coaches. List of coaches now and how good they are. Number 32, Adam Gase. Congratulations, Dell, your coach.
He's not my coach.
He was your coach.
But he's not my coach anymore, thankfully.
Joe Judge, how do you know? I mean, those guys, I don't think
you can. It should be N-A.
Matt Patricia is 30. Zach Taylor, 29. Kevin Stefanski is ahead of him, and he hasn't coached it down.
Yeah, and by the way, just to clear up the Ozzie Newsome thing, Ozzie Newsome stepped down after the 2018 season, so it was after drafting Lamar Jackson.
He drafted him.
Yeah, so... What is Eric DaCosta getting credit for then? Since
after the 2000 what?
18 season.
Oh, okay.
So Lamar was drafted the 2018 draft.
So, yeah.
So what is DaCosta getting credit for? The 19 and 20 draft? The 20 draft we don't know anything about yet? And the 19 draft?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Doug Marrone, 27. I feel like he should be lower.
He's got one division title and an AFC title game appearance.
Matt Rhule. I see the guys that haven't coached it down in the NFL, I don't think you can put on this list. He's got Vic Fangio at 24, Cliff at 23.
Where's my guy? My actual guy.
Flores is 18.
That's about right.
Bill O'Brien's right ahead of him at 17. See, Bill O'Brien should probably be higher on that list.
Yeah, he's got division titles. I mean, he's won double-digit games.
Four division titles in 6 years. He makes too many questionable in-game decisions to be considered an elite coach. That all I would agree with.
Yeah, but what is an elite coach? Top 8, top 10? What
well, I mean, listen, the most important stuff is when the game is on the line. We didn't have a fourth down play. What? It's not my job to call a timeout.
Why are you calling a fake punt and you're deep in your own territory?
Yeah.
To jumpstart a Chiefs rally.
I mean.
Wasn't like 4th and 6? It wasn't even like 4th and 2.
Yeah. And that was desperation.
For what? And you were leading. Now I know the Chiefs, great offense, but why would you give them a short
what
field?
What about against the Broncos? He did the same thing in that first half. Now, what did he do that was – or was it the Colts playoff game? Something really, really unbelievably dumb.
They pile up.
Belichick's 1, Reed is 2, Sean Payton 3. Doug Peterson, and then I would put John Harbaugh ahead of Peterson.
I would too.
I mean, Doug Peterson had a really great year, but John Harbaugh's been really good. Kyle Shanahan, I would put him ahead of Peterson too. Mike Tomlin, Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's behind Peterson? Yeah. And Tomlin? Why?
And he's been really good for a long time. He's 8th on this list.
I feel like that's low.
Belichick is 1. Reed is 2. I'll agree with that.
Carroll's top 5.
Sean Payton is okay. I put Harbaugh and Carroll next.
I think that's the top 5.
And maybe Shanahan after that.
Maybe Payton's the 5. Maybe he's behind Carroll and Harbaugh.
Shanahan after that. Hey, Mike Tomlin. I'll tell you this, but I respect a lot. They had Dookie Duck, who
his,
was
his name is Duck Hodges, not Dookie Hodges.
Whatever his name was, and they're fighting for a playoff spot. When Deshaun went down,
it was over.
This season was over.
It's over.
We're done. We can't win now. Man, the Steelers fought hard.
Well, that speaks to whoever their general manager is. They still had a base level of talent.
Yep.
That wouldn't fall off even with the Hodges or Mason Rudolph. I don't know who that guy is. Where he was on that
list?
Where was he on the list?
He was up there 4th, I think.
Yeah, so that makes some sense. That combination can keep you in a season when you have little to no quarterback play, but you have a coach that gets guys to play and a roster that's actually pretty talented outside the quarterback.
It's got Shanahan 6, Tomlin 7, Carroll 8, McDermott 9, Sean McVay is 10.
Who's behind?
My, how we forget how much we love that dude.
Well, he didn't make the playoffs last year, John, so he has to drop.
Oh, really? Oh, he's got to, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to drop.
I guess if you don't make the playoffs, you're out. Mike Zimmer is 11. Arians, Vrabel, Reich.
But would you have McVay?
Rivera. O'Brien's the third best coach in the division.
Despite all the accolades we just listed, quote-unquote accolades. Where would you have McVay if you go through? If he's 10, is there someone that you would have below him that's in the top 9, or is that right where he should be?
I'd put him ahead of McDermott.
Yeah, McDermott's had the 1 playoff.
Yeah. I mean, and he's, you know, I think that a lot of it is, what do you think the team's going to do this year?
I don't really know.
I mean, McVay made a Super Bowl. And in then, his first couple of years in the league.
And then backed it up the year after, I think. With the 11-win season or something.
And then went to the Super Bowl, and then... Did they come back with 11? Oh, yeah, they were in the playoffs the next year against... I forget.
I'll look.
Guess 10 million doesn't pay... doesn't buy what it used to. Gruden's 16th.
Well, you've seen the Raiders.
Yeah. No. Well, I think a lot of that is on... I was surprised. Actually, I thought he was going to be a total disaster, and he's not.
Yeah, like a lot of retreads have been. So you were right. 2017, 11-5 for McVay, 13-3 Super Bowl appearance. Last year, above 500, 9-7, but missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
So 3 straight years of winning 9 or more games and 2 playoff appearances.
And a Super Bowl.
Certainly, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead of Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't make the playoffs last year. And I think a lot of that is on the general manager
and the division he plays in.
That too.
He didn't have the opportunity to play the Dolphins and the Jets 4 times like McDermott did.
Right. Right. And a depleted, not as good Patriots team. Where do they have McCarthy? I didn't see that. Who cares? No one cares about that.
Well, you looked him up, and he's a Cowboy coach, so that's on you.
But no one cares about McCarthy and where he is. I think they left him off. Oh, no, he's 22nd. He sucks.
That's a little low.
He sucks.
He's got a Super Bowl, too, John.
That was a long time ago. He had Aaron Rodgers. I could have won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Ooh,
no, I feel like you would have been far too reactionary to be an NFL
head
coach. No,
we don't make knee-jerk decisions.
I don't know. Some guy doesn't bring you your Coors Light, he's getting cut.
Like, but he would have brought me a Coors Light.
You're like,
he's
wait
a
minute.
Smart quarterback.
Like, wait a minute. I'm a cornerback. I don't bring the coach Coors Lights. You do now.
You do. You won't play? Aaron yeah. Rodgers?
You're
okay.
Not, that was the one you would not do. You're not cutting Aaron Rodgers because he doesn't bring your Coors Light.
No. Yeah.
Maybe Tremont Williams, you probably cut him.
No. No.
He's only a quarterback. He's not your quarterback.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll play that dude from Notre Dame. He sucks, but I'm going to play him anyway because you don't bring me Coors Light. They don't even have him anymore. Who's their backup now?
The backup quarterback?
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
Time for me to talk about HRNP. HRP.net. HRP.net. Look, this is you found out about your payroll company. You found out about how good they are. You found out how knowledgeable they are about getting the PPP, of getting stuff done. All the stimulus packages, the benefits packages. How were they with the unemployment claims? How were they? How are they right now? Because we're still going through tax time with the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Because that's still a thing. I don't know if you know. How accessible were they in times? I mean, they were probably busy. Did they get back to you? Did they have knowledgeable answers for you right away? Did they have to get back to you because they didn't know? All of these things. Well, HRNP, pretty damn proud of what they do. And we couldn't have got through this thing without them. So if you're a company that struggled with any of these areas or your payroll company wasn't up to snuff, try ours. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. Tell them you heard it right here.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Black leather glove, no sequin. Buckles on the jacket, it's elite. Nike crossbody, got a piece in. Got a dance, but it's really on some street. I'ma show you.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato. Don't you want to dance with
me? No, I could dance like Michael. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird Time coming your way here. The hot new thing that's making your stock pop right now, Dell? Going bankrupt.
What?
Yeah. Hertz. Hertz, Whiting Petroleum, Pier 1, and JCPenney all declared bankruptcy amid the pandemic, saw their shares surging at least 70% each in Monday's trading.
I don't know about stocks. Do you have any explanation for that? Why that's helping?
I don't know if they'll get a bailout. Oh, they won't have to pay off their debts. They'll pay them for pennies on the dollar, probably.
Ah.
And so now they're going to be worth a lot more.
Solid grift.
Way to go. That's America.
All a hustle.
All a hustle. Apparently, Mercedes-Benz owner was none too happy about his unsafe car. So he flew from Richmond to Germany to complain about it.
You know, we talk about sometimes, and we did it with our former buddy, about how your life must be really good if you can do certain things. Your life must be great if you can fly to a foreign country to complain about your Mercedes.
Well, it's a $155,000 car.
That's understandable, but why do you need to fly to Germany? Did they deliver it directly from the place,
They might not answer his calls.
Well, don't you have a local dealership you can talk to?
Probably.
That's my point. Did he order it directly from the factory, and that's why he's going for a face-to-face meeting? Or did the local Alex Rodriguez Mercedes sell him the car and he can go talk to them?
Yeah, I don't know. He might have bought it direct. Probably not. He just was a...
He's got nothing to do. You have nothing to do.
His life's too good.
Yeah, if you can do that.
The official Twitter handle of the Colorado Springs Police Department is under siege.
Colorado Springs, what are the initials? That's CSPD.
Yeah.
Why is that a problem?
Well, CSPD is hoping for a peaceful night, but we are being told that protesters are now donning gas masks. So they don't want their protesters wearing gas masks because they want to be able to tear gas them at will.
Yeah, because you guys are going to get out of hand, and then we need to tear gas you. Although, man, these are just reports, so who knows? People have been pointing out that since in some areas the police aren't involved in the protests, things are going off without a hitch. So I don't know. That's maybe just isolated incidents, but it – did you see the Austin Police Department? They tweeted out because of all the unrest and people saying defund the police, all the things that are going on with people having a problem with the police right now. They tweeted out a picture of all these thank you cards, and the caption pretty much was, "United, thank you for all the well wishes," and you have like a white officer and a black officer posing for a photo. Hey, look, we're all together in unity. And if you go look at the actual cards themselves, like a lot of them have the same handwriting. Like, all the thank yous look exactly alike.
Well, that one person was very thankful.
Or the wives of these wife of the officer wrote a lot of them. I don't know if they still have it up, but they got destroyed.
Apparently, India and Pakistan don't like each other much.
Yeah,
I've heard about that.
That's been a thing for a while.
Well, there's a TV channel in India that's accusing Pakistan of attacking India with hot weather. They're blaming Pakistan.
Are we really going to laugh considering someone here thinks to stop hurricanes from happening?
Nuke them.
He can nuke them. And
you can nuke them.
And congressional Democrats, in fear that he would actually do it, they introduced a bill that would ban presidents from using weapons of mass destruction to divert natural disasters.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
That is something on
nuke
the floor.
Them. Nuke
so I'm not going to laugh at anybody who reports that one country has decided another country is harming them with weather. Look, we have lost the ability to take shots. That's all.
Brevard County. Do you know what Brevard County is in Florida?
I know of it. I don't know exactly where it is.
Well, you don't want to live there.
Probably not.
Florida Police Organization in Brevard County offers to hire cops who were fired or resigned over police misconduct.
Oh, I did see that.
There is.
Like, we don't have those type of laws
here. There's a safe haven.
Oh, look, man. I am not as revolutionary when it comes to the police, this or that. But all these stories are like, man, what are you guys doing? People have been. One police department determines, whether through pressure or their own internal investigation, that this is a bad police officer. You want to welcome him?
Mm-hmm. Well,
what?
He's got experience.
Experience doing
experience.
What?
We want experienced cops.
Experience doing what?
Stuff.
Is it good stuff?
Nobody said that. It's stuff. He's got experience, Odell.
Look, man.
Okay. Okay. Why do you think Matt Castle keeps getting a job?
Well, he's probably a good backup quarterback. Not a good one, but no. let's just say he doesn't cause trouble.
He's got experience.
He doesn't cause trouble.
Sometimes he does.
Well, he did.
Pakistan police have arrested a gambling ring, apparently. 8 men and a donkey have been arrested.
Was the donkey the ringleader?
I don't know if he was the ringleader, but they were alleged involvement in a gambling race.
Can you arrest a donkey?
Apparently they can. It's a race of donkeys. They have an illegal racing ring, and the donkey was amongst those in the arrest warrant.
Do you book the donkey? Do you make him give hoof prints?
He was participating in the race. Well, you want the donkey to go free?
He's an accessory to a crime, or at least an actual contributing member. Did he have to turn to the left, turn to the right, and look straight ahead? Did they make the donkey do that when they were booking him?
What? Oh, so donkeys don't have to pay the price of crime?
I'm simply asking you, did they make the donkey go through the same thing that humans did? Did he go to lock up or a barn? What did they do for the donkey? Did he have to have a separate cell?
You don't need a toilet in there. That's good.
Well, but do the other people being detained need to be around a donkey who will just take a crap no matter where?
You're all criminals. Y'all get lumped in together.
Look, if you're in the drunk tank that night bring a donkey. Wait a minute. I thought I was sobering up.
What the hell? There's a donkey in here. We're done. Joel and Charlie up next. The press box next. We will talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.